sickness comes in, disease happens. How about disasters? Here's another category. Broken homes, number two. Divorce, violence, maybe debt develops, and even death. That's another category where something takes place and people just say, I'll never get over it. I don't know if I'll ever recover. And hopelessness develops. Here's another. Number three, broken lives where drugs are involved. Relationships have been shattered because of addictions, even with alcohol, crime, bereavement, and desertion. That's a terrible feeling if you've ever faced and experienced desertion. Usually happens when one spouse walks out on another spouse. Here's a fourth category. How about broken dreams? Ambitions would be one way. Failure, defeat, or disappointment. Very important. All these are symptoms of our modern society, but it deprives people of peace and happiness and ultimately hope. So that is our society. Is that something that you're experiencing right now? There's even hope right now. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, He's there right now with you. He's there right now. Would you be ready to prepare for the power of the Holy Spirit to come? Let's take a look at a passage as we just break down a little bit more. What is this really hopelessness like? And I like the Bible so much because it deals with so much of the human condition. And I found one. It's in Psalm 13. Would you take a look at Psalm 13? Let's look at verses 1 through 6. I'm going to take a look at that and read that with you. Let's deal with this. David is crying out, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say I have prevailed against him, lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved." Verse 5 and 6, "But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation, and I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." That's a great environment to be with, that kind of group of people or persons. That's why we're talking this season, the Harvest of Hope. To be in that environment where people will speak with confidence how God has dealt bountifully with us. People need to hear that once again. Let's take a look a little bit of hopelessness. Letter A, feeling alienated from God. Let's look here for a moment because that's what the psalmist is describing. In verse 1, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" Now, it's interesting. Verse 1 is really the capstone. Alien. In other words, when a person is going through an episode in their life, they really feel like God is nowhere. Where are you, Lord? I believe you're there, but I feel like you. How long is this going to happen, and where are you? That's important. No one else will understand that. That's how a person starts to feel. God is not around, and I can't bring my situation to anybody because no one is there. You'll start to deal with an unbeliever will literally go and take a look at Instagram, and they'll gaze at everyone's bright little life, and they'll say, "Well, I just can't even go out of my house because everybody else seems to have a great life. It's not happening for me." For a Christian, it usually happens when hopelessness starts to have a season going on in their life. They're going to start to say, "Well, man, I pray, and there just seems to be no answer. I take time and read the Bible, and it feels like it is just lifeless. I consider things that I'm listening to truth. I'm doing as many podcasts as I can. It's just coming up empty." That's a person that's dealing, a Christian that is, dealing with hopelessness. And they usually will just say, well, I guess I'm not doing things right. That's why it is. We have to be careful. Letter B, let's take a look at another element of hopelessness according to the psalmist. Listening to our own thoughts rather than God's thoughts. Right there in verse 2, Psalm 13, verse 2, says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? So you can see a hopeless person sees absolutely no escape. So they start to just kind of reason within their own little counsel. They're considering it. How long is a phrase that's used four times in the first two verses of Psalm 13. So he's looking at his own counsel. I guess I'm just, God's nowhere. Nobody's going to understand. I'll just reason with my own heart. And usually what happens, they can't even remember what life was like before the disappointment settled in. Can't see a way out of the discouragement. That's a hopeless person. Is that you? Is that what's dealing now in your environment because of issues, situations, things that are happening? People who are hopeless have looked around them and they've come to the conclusion absolutely nothing will satisfy them. I don't want to try anything. They usually start staying home. They don't even proceed to come back into fellowship. And the churches are opened up, if you haven't looked. Churches are open. Hope Chapel's opened. We're doing services midweek. Our age-appropriate gatherings are taking place. Our 10 a.m. hub gathering. In person, it's awesome. Children's ministry is flourishing. But sometimes people are saying nothing satisfies, not even God, not even church. I'll make my way. So they are looking for the wrong places to bring satisfying elements. It's true, nothing on this planet satisfies except the person and the work of Jesus Christ. I hope you've discovered that. You need, and I need, that kind of environment with electrifying Christians that talk and enjoy, regardless of events or even what they possess, their joy is in the Lord, their hope is in Him. Third element, letter C, wishing to die. Now let's take a look at that because that's bringing up an element that's very tender and dear to a pastor's heart. When people are entertaining suicidal tendencies, thoughts, Psalm 13, verse 3 says, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes. Let me see what is happening here, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Now, according to the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention, do you know that suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in America? Each year, 44,193 people commit suicide. What is shocking to me, because many feel, because of the lockdown, that now the Jason Foundation says that the second leading cause of death among young people, which is the age of 10 to 24, is suicide. Ages 10 to 24. Every day in our nation now, there are 5,240 attempts of suicide among ages 7 to 11, attempts. Some are successful. That's an amazing shock that should stir our hearts saying, oh, I need to get my family into Christian environment. Oh, I need to get, for our own family, I have two nephews of different family members. Both of these young boys are in high school and have had individually their friends commit suicide. One in San Gabriel Valley here in Southern California, another in Riverside County in Southern California. And they're shocked, and we've had to walk through that. Why would a sophomore, why would a junior with their whole life ahead of them even attempt, oh, the heartache for the family? Why? Hopelessness. Hopelessness, my friends. You have hope? You feel calm? Have you invited others that you know are feeling or entertaining these kinds of thoughts? Letter D, another element of hopelessness according to the psalmist, feeling like there is no foundation. I don't know if you ever feel like, man, everything is plummeting downward, but Psalm 13, verse 4 says, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. No stability, no security. Someone who's hopeless might say something like this, there is no constant anymore. Nothing makes sense anymore. Everything I look around that I thought was constant and certain is unsure now. I just don't know. There's no foundation. Oh, that our nation would come back to God and place confidence in the Scriptures. Oh, that you would say, let's get into the Word. I was just reading. I'm in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 7, says that families, parents, teach your children the Word of God. When you sit down, when you rise up, make sure the Word's on your walls, in the doorposts. Make sure everything you do integrates the Word of God. Deuteronomy 6, 7, check it out. Have we been doing that? No wonder why so many people in our environment are feeling the foundations are being eroded. This world needs people with confidence, a confident hope. Oh, it's so important for us. Not a misplaced hope. Oh, please, if you are just trying to help people with something other than the person and the work of Jesus, and you're saying if you just kind of go with that kind of new work environment, you'll make money and I'm sure everything will be fine. If you just kind of develop that same dietary intake, you'll be a happier person. That's good. It's healthy. It's great to just be smart and good stewards of things. But if that is their only goal to obtain hope, they're going to come to the conclusion all of us have before we found Jesus. My hope is found in Him. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Romans chapter 15, verse 13. I'm going to invite Ainsley to join me now at this time. I just feel moved that it's important for us, once again, to pray and to pray for you and to believe for what God has for you. If you're here now, and you're sensing that I want to have that breakthrough, we're going to just take a moment now. Would you tell those that are in the room, or if you're just by yourself, how ideal is the setting to set your heart toward God and to say, Lord, I want to put everything of who I am in the living God. Jesus is the life of the world, the hope of our society, the only course of action, and we want to remove hopelessness from off of you today, but it's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, 13, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're asking God to move and to help you and to deliver you. And you who are feeling confident that you are just happy that Jesus Christ is in your life, and you feel secure even though may our setting in our society, and certainly during this election season, may be a little uncertain, you still have hope. If you have that hope in Jesus, then we're going to be praying for you that you would go and invite people to the harvest of hope. That you know, I know, people who are looking for answers. We have the answers, and I'm asking you to be courageous. The world is needing, our nation is needing people who will have and distribute the hope they found in Jesus. Yeah. So, honey, why don't you go ahead and believe, and let's pray right now. Shall we do that? Okay. Let's start. Would you just lift your hands as if you're going to receive something fantastic by the power of the Holy Spirit, joy and peace in believing.
Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we want to thank you that you are the God who knows the answer to the question, how long? Because that is what tends to bring us this lack of hope, is we think, how long will this go on? How long will it take to recover from a surgery? How long do I have to put up with a husband who's drinking? How long will my child be away from you? How long do I have to live without a job? How long will it be till I find someone to share my life with? How long is it going to be? But Lord, you know the answer to the question of how long. And Father, we thank you for every person who is praying and their heart is saying, but how long am I going to have to put up with this? How long is this going to go on? How long am I going to have to teach my children? How long am I going to have to slug every day out trying to make ends meet? Lord, the answer is in you. And we pray, Father, that you will come right now by the power of your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit who is the Spirit of hope, who is the Spirit of peace, who is the Spirit of joy. We're asking that you come right now and that you meet the need and the cry of every person who's legitimately saying, how long, Lord, is this going to last? And we pray, Lord, that each person will sense you at their side. We pray, Lord, that they will sense you taking their hand and saying, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how long it is. It doesn't matter how long. What matters is who's with you during the duration, and I am here with you. And I'll walk with you, whether it be a day, whether it be a week, whether it be months, whether it be even years. We don't want to hear that, but Lord, we thank you that you are with us and that you take our hand and that you guide us through everything that we go through. And so, Lord, we commit these things and these people to you, trusting, Lord, that you will meet them right where they are and that that peace and hope that they need will rise in their hearts. Because, Lord, they sense your presence and they know that you're with them. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Thank you, God.
Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, while Ainsley was praying, I just want to speak to you now in what I feel is a prophetic word. So let's just listen and just see how the heart of God would just come for you. But the Lord would just say, my dear child, would you just draw near to me with a pure heart, in full confidence, and I have washed you pure by my blood and cleansed you by the washing of the water of my very word. So I invite you, you are radiant and perfect, and I want you to come. Would you gather with me? Say, well, Lord, I do that every day. Would you come and gather with my people? That's my body. My body is longing for you. What you have and who you are will bring up and stir up the gift of love and good works among the others. It is you, my child, that I want to utilize. You who are relaxing and enjoying my presence right there in your relaxed clothes, some of you in pajamas. But I say, would you present yourself to a noble and a dignitary that would come into your home dressed like that? Yet I am before you asking, come be with me. Come. As my word says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves as Christians, as the manner of some are. But so much more the case now that you are seeing that my soon return, the day is approaching. Won't you come? Won't you come? I have an assignment for you. Encourage yourself, come with confidence and a true heart, full assurance, because I who have promised you, I'm faithful also to perform it. Have your hope fully set upon me, the author and finisher of your faith. So, Lord, we want to just thank you right now. And, Lord, for the amount of great breakthroughs that you've already brought because of what Ainsley led us in prayer, because of the receptivity of those who are with us right now, and that, Lord, thank you for allowing people to feel moved once again to say, I've got an assignment. It's a holy assignment from Almighty God to gather with God's people, the body of Christ, because there is a day approaching, and that, Lord, we are prepared. Our hearts are prepared. Our lives are before you. Whatever you want, Almighty God, we surrender all once again. We surrender all, Lord. If there's anything we hold back, Lord, we surrender that to you as an offering today. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, honey, that was a powerful time, wasn't it? I think we're set for some outstanding times. And if that verse or that prophecy was something that resonated with you, take a look, mark down Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 to 25. Hebrews 10, 22 to 25. Well, I'm anticipating. Any closing thoughts in it?
Well, I was just thinking, Paul, even before the message began today, that we had received a call from someone saying, I need help. I need you to pray for me. And it reminded me of just how important the body of Christ is and how important our relationships are. And this person was very nervous and very upset about something that they were facing and said, could you just pray? And by the end, the peace that they felt was amazing. And it was just kind of reiterated in the message today and in our prayer. The Lord really does want to help us, and He gives us one another. That's a great blessing.
We love turning everyone on to Almighty God, don't we? He's a loving Heavenly Father. Shows it by sending His best gift in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So we want to encourage you. Would you come 10 a.m.? That's called our hub, but we are dubbing it this holiday season, Harvest of Hope. People coming back are people who call Hope Chapel their home, or if reason of distance does not permit you to come or other conditions, find a local assembly. They're waiting for the body of Christ to assemble once again. I'm pretty excited what God's doing. And during our hub, we often give opportunity for the gifts of the Spirit to move. And that, those promises, those prophetic words, those tongues with interpretation, just want to throw that out there, wow, that those are for the people who gather. And we want to make sure you don't miss those timely messages and significant input of the Spirit of God. Well, we're going to leave you with this reminder of Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord bless you all. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you real soon. God bless you. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.